Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got our good buddy Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is one of the outstanding editors at the Kiplinger Washington Editors. They're the folks who are the publishers of the 80-plus-year-old, what is it now, 87-year-old, I think? 87 years old. Just about, yes. This September, right? So 87 years old. 87-year-old publication, the Kiplinger Letter, and all the other publications that have come along since then. And as you heard, Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
Welcome back. We're glad you're here. Jim, I remember back in the late 90s, there was a big sensation, big news, very exciting, even just to the casual observer, the casual consumer of news, when they broke the genome code.
That's right.
And we thought that, you know, in 10 years, we'd have the cure for cancer, people would be living to be 300 years old, and we'd have all this, you know, this wonderful new information about humankind. And were we asking too much?
Well, yes. You know, the thing is, and I must say, many of these things always are very hyped by individuals who want it and companies who are looking, you know, perhaps to really cash in on the PR.
Especially, yeah, go public and right. Yeah, exactly.
It's true. But the thing is, I might just say, you know, the human body, the human everything is so incredibly complex.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you know everything about, you know, what makes up every cell in every body, there are other systems besides, you know, it takes a lot more.
Well, and there's nothing, we're not talking about a monofaceted approach to things. I mean, you touch one thing and you break six others.
That is correct.
That's part of it. But, you know, I guess it's kind of like, Jim, when I graduated from high school, so somebody asked me when I graduated from college, they said, well, I guess you know everything now, right? And I said, or you think you know everything. And I said, no, actually, when I graduated from high school, I thought I knew everything. I said, now that I've graduated from college, I realize I really don't know anything.
Right.
And so I just think maybe, you know, 10 years ago, we thought we were onto something.
Right. In high school.
And now, 10 years later, we realize, you know, we just are scratching the surface.
Right. And with additional information, we recognize
right.
how much more there is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might say, you know, that we've not seen any aha eureka moments or drugs or miraculous cures as much as you'd hope. But there certainly, you know, has been significant progress. I should say in developing over here some better medications,
right.
Better drugs to, you know, for instance, to treat some very difficult things such as lupus.
Right.
But also, I must say, in terms of lupus and osteoporosis and all, but also in using our knowledge of the human genome develop individualized treatments and medicine.
Right.
Right.
And by the way, folks, when we talk about genome, in case you haven't, you know, you're not familiar with that word, or you've heard it, but you don't really know, the way I understand it, it's understanding the genetic makeup of, you know, it's encoding, understanding, breaking apart our DNA and our RNA, and understanding where the characteristics lie and how, you know, how if you have an obesity issue, if you have a mental illness issue, if you have a tendency to show another illness or disease, they can actually find that, where that is, and at least, even if they can't do anything about it, at least they know what part of breaking down the essence of the human being, you know, this physical body that we have, breaking that down so that we can at least know where it is. Because if you don't know where it is, you can't address it. You can't fix it.
That's right. And
so that's my third grade level
that's attempt, pretty good.
Okay, maybe fourth grade level of attempt to explain that. But that's the thing. We've always, I mean, you know, you and I grew up knowing that we knew about deoxyribonucleic acid and ribonucleic acid. We, you know, the RNA in our DNA, which is basically the building blocks of our protoplasm.
Right.
We've grown up knowing about that all along, but we didn't know, and we knew that it was a helix. It was in the form of a helix, but we didn't know about what was on all those little limbs that are sticking out of it.
Well, that's right.
And now they're mapping that, aren't they?
They are, and also, I mean, basically finding very specific genes that control various functions, mm-hmm. and also, you might say, can be turned on, can be turned off, that would affect disease.
But the medicines, there are some drugs that we found. I mean, there have been some breakthroughs.
Well,
we have learned a lot of things, and I think, and we'll come back. I want to get Jim to comment a little bit more on what they reported on this week on this. Then we're going to move on and talk about some other things after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Little ZZ Top bringing us back. That book song is called Rough Boy. It's one of my favorites. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there and using it to your advantage. We got lots of stuff there that will help you. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog and all the other things that are there. And our poll question this week is on the economy. We'd like to know what you think. And you'll be able to see the question and the three options for answers. And when you click on your answer and submit it, you'll be able to see how the poll's going so far. And you'll see where you rank with everybody else. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Jim Osterhoff is our guest. He's one of the editors, outstanding editors over at the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about the Kiplinger Letter right now. And Jim, just to wrap up quickly on the genome thing, there are some things that have happened that have been very positive. Some drugs. You were going to tell us about that a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, that there have been there just recently has been Food and Drug Administration approval, or we're saying they will approve, you know. A drug, for instance, to treat lupus,
mm-hmm.
And other things, you know, that may well help people with osteoporosis. And, you know, and there are others here. They're much more targeted.
Mm-hmm.
They offer hope where there was none or almost none. And over here, they said, particularly tests of all sorts by companies doing genetic...
Right. And they're just learning how to use this. I mean, they know they're onto something, but in some cases, the application that they used first wasn't exactly the right application.
Exactly. It's like they have this great new tool chest, but not sure exactly how to use it, where
right.
this fits, and what to turn.
So maybe, you know, in this age of instant gratification, maybe we just need to take a breath and just be happy with what's been accomplished so far. But that's cold comfort for people who invested all these years, isn't it?
Well,
it's also cool comfort for people who have diseases that we're hoping for a cure.
That's right. And, you know, that's absolutely right. Nothing overnight.
Yeah.
If you're invested or an investor or you're desperate,
right.
you know, it's not like...
Well, if you think about it, the vaccine for polio is about 60 years old, 50, 60 years old.
Almost 60 years.
And only now, and literally only in this decade... with the help of Rotary International, of which I'm a member, mm-hmm. with the help of Rotary, only now, all these years, all these decades later, are we in the process of eradicating polio.
Polio from the world.
You know, even though we've had the vaccine, and the vaccine we're using today is the same vaccine.
That's
basically
right.
It's just the application is different.
That's
so
right.
these things take time, and so... Jim, I want to move over and talk about the global forecast. This is an outstanding graphic that you guys have here, but it's a little bit disconcerting, the news that we have there.
Well, it does show over here that...
I'm sorry, folks. Jim, hold on a second. Folks, we're talking about major economies, how they ranked in 2000, how they're going to rank in 2010, and what Kiplinger projects they will do in 2011. Go ahead, Jim.
Right, and for instance, overall, we're saying that the economic growth, GDP of the entire world, will grow about 3.5% this year. And then as recovery moves along, next year we see GDP for every nation in the world at about 3.2%. And now the U.S. we see as sort of
it's
doing
of
a
the,
little better.
It's part of the good news.
Yeah, where GDP will grow about 3.3% this year and increase to 3.6% next year. But for most other countries, it's going to decline.
Mm-hmm. Including China.
From now, of course, from over 10 to about 9%.
But still, that's like a recession for those guys.
It is. I mean, they've been looking at substantially higher growth year after year.
India is going to be off, too.
And another, you know, very swift-growing nation.
The BRIC countries.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Brazil, Russia, India, China.
China.
Those are all not, I mean, the net drop in, especially with Brazil. I mean, Brazil's almost going to fall off the table, according to your projections.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they're looking at about, you know, like 7% growth this year. Next year, about 4%.
Maybe they just got overheated this year.
Maybe
next year's going to be more reasonable.
Right.
But anyway, this is just an interesting graphic to show that you know, we still got some toxins to absorb in the economy, in the global economy, Jim.
It's going to take years.
It's going to take some time.
Work it all out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's move over and talk about energy, Jim. I know this is your beat that you cover specifically for Kiplinger. What's the news there?
Well, I must say, you know, right off the bat over here, the EPA has now said it is okay to increase the amount of ethanol in gasoline by 50%, and that means from 10% to 15%.
But to what end, Jim? I mean, why are we still chasing the ethanol around? I mean, we know that ethanol doesn't save any hydrocarbon emissions because it takes as much hydrocarbon to make ethanol as burning of it saves. Why are we still doing this?
Slightly more energy produced than used. Very slight.
Yeah.
We're doing this because members of our government believe that we should be producing even more ethanol.
So it's politics.
Yeah, well, I mean, politics and policy, I should say.
Yeah.
Government believes we should.
Of course, we can grow corn, and we can't grow more petroleum. We can't grow more oil, you know.
Right.
I guess.
Now,
so maybe it is a renewable. I guess that's one thing.
It is,
but it's not a carbon friendly transaction. Really, I mean, it's marginally on the carbon.
And I gotta say, the idea here is do this as a bridge to.
Right, Jim. Hold on to that thought. Quick break. Tintail. Right back with Jim Ostroff. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's one of the great editors over at Kiplinger Editors, where they produce the outstanding Kiplinger letter, the document that we work off of every week to talk about on the show. And that's the weekly flagship of the Kiplinger Washington Editors. And, of course, they have a couple of biweeklies, the tax letter and the agriculture letter. And then they got a magazine. Jim, tell us about that.
Well, we have Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And that's available by subscription like the others, as well as on books and on newsstands. And, Jim, what about that phone number?
Here's a toll-free number. It's 800-544-0155.
And also at the website, kiplinger.com, you can subscribe there. And they still got a 30-day free trial. If you don't like what you subscribe to, they'll give you your money back. So check that out when you get a chance. But I don't think you'll want your money back. I think you'll like it. Jim, quickly on some other issues of in the petroleum side, you're saying that global demand is going to increase over the years.
Well, yes, it will. And the thing is that oil is becoming more expensive to find.
We got to go deeper, isn't it?
Going deeper and deeper. And there's a reason they were out so far in the Gulf, because that's where the oil is.
Yep.
And the point is, you know, we've looked at this, and at some point here, you know, you have these gigantic oil reservoirs beneath gulfs and ocean beds that don't really respect country boundaries.
Right.
So it is very likely that you will have a situation, now even most likely right now with the U.S. and Mexico.
Right.
We have territorial waters that sit right over the middle of giant oil reservoirs.
Right.
And particularly, same thing in Africa and off the coast in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
There could well be some conflicts here, you know, as countries say, no, you know, you are taking oil from my side.
Well, that's a big deal right there. Is this? I mean, I think that in some parts of the world there could be wars fought over this.
Well, there,
because they're all sharing the same. Mm-hmm. They're all sharing the same, basically the same reservoir. It doesn't know anything about boundaries. And
no,
some
it
of
doesn't.
These and some of these boundaries out under the water are, you know, who's to say where the boundaries are.
Exactly, and even if you know, the point is like you have two people drinking a milkshake, you know, out of a glass with two straws, and so no, you took most of it. No, you did.
Right.
So,
there could be oil wars, just like there are probably going to be water wars.
Right. The natural resources. You know,
that's exactly right.
Be much more important.
I mean, I'm not saying that America and Canada are going to go to war over this, but. But other countries might.
Other places, or even nearby over here, what if, I mean, Cuba, what
right.
if there's oil
oh,
there?
Of course.
And they could go.
Well, or Colombia and Venezuela or something like
right,
that.
Right.
But no, there's, and Jim, in the time we have left, talk to us about some of the nuclear stuff that's going on.
Yeah, basically there is under development smaller sized nuclear reactors. Modular reactors, and the thing is that electric utilities are very interested in these because they can be built within just a few years as opposed to the very large ones today. They can be built, added as needed, just add on capacity as needed, and they will ultimately be less expensive to operate.
Right.
A lot of interest in this, especially here as utilities are looking to reduce their carbon footprint. Nuclear produces no carbon dioxide.
Right,
The waste issue.
But you got to deal with the waste. Of course, there is inherent potential danger with the reactor, and then you got to deal with the waste.
And the reactors, let's say this, it is said that these reactors are much less likely to have problems.
Well, they're very successful with them in Europe.
And they certainly are. The waste issue can be managed, even if they don't settle this yucca thing, the stuff can be stored on site.
Well, that's the next thing, is the technology. It's more really now more about the technology to deal with the waste than it is to deal with the safety.
Right. And I've got to say, the Europeans right now deal with the waste by effectively, we'll call it, reutilizing it and burning it.
Right.
So there's almost none left. The U.S. has said, we don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you know, there have been two big events, Three Mile Island, which hurt no one, and Chernobyl, which was a disaster,
right.
But we all know about Russia's quality control. It's not much.
So, but
the rest of the world is a lot better. So look for nuclear to be in our future, and I think that's probably a good idea. Hey Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Wonderful, Jim. Thank you.
We'll see you next time, Jim Ostroff. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Ostroff is one of the outstanding editors over at the Kipling Editors, and we always enjoy having him on the show. He'll be back next week. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.